Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repentant of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Glory be to the Father.
pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hands with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me, or else. If you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will happen, and the Lord shall do it.' Then came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt, and the land was ruined by swarms of flies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you.
When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurities or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold,
chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. For if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ says to us today, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." He says this after responding to the absurd accusation that he casts out demons by the prince of demons, by Beelzebul, that is, by Satan. And then, after he responds to that absurd accusation, he caps off all of this by saying, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." What does it mean to be with Christ or against Christ? That is the question put before us this morning. And the answer is as simple as it is profound. The problem for us sinners is that we instinctively want to answer that question with a laundry list of things that we have to do. It's how we're built, sons and daughters of Adam that we are. We immediately seek to answer these sorts of questions by making these sorts of questions about ourselves. What does it mean to be with Christ? Well, it means A, B, C, D, and so on. And it matters not what you put after those letters, how you fill in the blanks, whether it's with the Ten Commandments, the fruits of the Spirit, a list of virtues or morals or ethics, or seven things that you find in some quasi-Christian book. Doesn't matter. The fact that you're creating a list that you must fulfill to be with Christ reveals that you have totally missed the point. When you seek to answer the question of what it means to be with Christ or against him by making lists for yourselves, you are falling into the trap of the devil. You're actually doing the very thing Jesus is preaching against. You're doing what the Pharisees did. You're doing what the people who accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebul did. Creating lists of things you must do to be with Christ flows out of a warped, self-righteous delusion that you can be like God. The very thing that Beelzebul has always sought to tempt mankind into believing. And besides all of that, you ever notice that the list of things that sinners create in the vain attempt to show what they must do to be with Christ always comes with convenient qualifiers? They end up being more like goals or things to strive toward rather than things that actually must be accomplished if they will be with Christ. The Pharisees were famous for this. They had all sorts of qualifiers in their lists. They thought they were keeping the law of God, but they made it convenient for themselves. You can't do a single ounce of work of physical labor on the Sabbath day, but if you have an animal fall in the pit, you can go ahead and get them out. Which is it? You shall not steal, but if you use some of the money that you rob from the poor to make improvements to the temple, that's okay. And on they went. There are many Christians today who play this same qualifying sort of game. They create all these rules they must follow to be with Christ, but they always provide themselves with exceptions to their own rules, convenient outs. You can't drink or smoke because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But eating Twinkies or Ho-Hos, that's okay. You can't dance. But if you're going to dance, you at least have to maintain 12 inches between yourself and your partner. You can't gossip. No gossiping. But as long as you tell the other person you're sharing that juicy tidbit of gossip with, that it's to be kept a secret, you're fine. And on they go, creating lists for themselves and then weaseling out of those lists inch by inch. But let's cut through all that nonsense today and make it very simple. If you doing stuff is required for you to be with Christ rather than against him, then here's your list. Love God and neighbor perfectly and completely. That's it. That's the only thing that goes on your list. Except, there's no exceptions allowed. No striving to do your best allowed. No convenient qualifiers allowed. Either you love God and neighbor perfectly and completely, always, every day, every second, your whole life long, or you don't. That's it. There's your list. Good luck. That is what the scriptures say, after all. That's the list provided in God's word. And it really is a list that does not allow for any exceptions. The law of God demands perfection. Either you keep it all perfectly, fully, or you don't keep any of it. And if you don't keep any of it, then what you earn is hell. And you don't. You don't keep that list. You know you don't. And because you know full well that you don't, you resort, because you're sinners, to other tactics. Tactics that all sinners are famous for. We all do it. You play the comparison game. You look at other sinners and think, yeah, I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not that bad. You know who else did that? The Pharisees. Repent. So then how do we answer this question? How do we answer the question of what it means to be with Christ or against Christ? I said earlier that the answer was as simple as it is profound. So what is it? It is this. Christ is your everything, or he is nothing. To be with Christ means to rely upon him for everything because you have nothing to offer. To rely upon Christ, though, for everything, means that you even rely upon him to get you to rely upon him. In other words, it's all his work. And that's hard for sinners to grasp because we all like to make our lists. There are no lists to make, though. That's the good news. Christ has done everything necessary for your salvation. Everything on every list that you could possibly put together has been completely fulfilled in Christ, by Christ. That two-item list that is the only list that matters, that you love God and neighbor completely and perfectly, done, finished. Christ. He has done everything necessary for your salvation. There is no list making for you to do. It is, dear friends, for this reason that he came. It always cracks me up when Christians want to put together these lists of things they have to do to be with Christ, to be a Christian, because in the very act of putting those lists together, they deny the reason our Lord came. For if there was a list that we could put together in order for us to be with Christ or to earn our salvation somehow, then Christ would not have had to come. But he did have to come, and he came to fulfill all the perfect demands of the law you failed to fulfill. He came to bear all of your imperfections and all of your sins in his own body, and to pay for every last one of them with his precious blood on the cross. He didn't come to live and die for you so that you could have the power to choose to be with him and live with him and for him. He came rather to live and die for you, that he could make you his. And you are his, not by fulfilling lists of your own vain imaginations and creations, You are his by divine declaration. You are declared righteous and holy and blameless and perfect for Christ's sake. You are baptized into his death and resurrection. You are absolved in his name. You are cleansed by his very body and blood in the supper. That is how you are with Christ rather than against him. Those who are against Christ are those who would rather stand on their own, believing their own righteousness is good enough. They may even succeed for a little while in booting out an unclean spirit, but it won't last. That unclean spirit will go and get seven of his buddies and come back for the attack. And the state of that person, the person who relies upon his own righteousness, the state of that person will be worse than it was before. That's how it goes with those who wish to stand on their own, putting their own righteousness before the Lord to be judged. It's insanity. It's crazy talk. And yet so many believe this is the way. You need to hear this, beloved, because it is this satanic idea of self-righteousness that passes itself off as Christianity most often here in America. Turn on the TV and listen to the so-called preachers. This is what you will hear. They will fill your ears with list after list of what you must do to be a Christian. Go to a Christian bookstore and buy yourself a book. There is about a 94.3% chance that what you will read in that book, I'm making that up, but it's probably pretty accurate. There is a huge chance that what you will read in that book is stuff that you must do in order to be a Christian or to be a better Christian or a good Christian or whatever. This false teaching is everywhere today. It dominates the way most people think of Christianity. If you ask the average person if they're a Christian and they say yes, and the next question you ask is, how do you get to heaven? They will say something about Jesus, but inevitably they will follow that up with something that they must do. They must be good. Something. All of it is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Be warned and steer clear. Listen rather to the psalmist and learn to pray with him. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust, not in me, in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies, sin, death, and the devil, exalt over me. The troubles of my heart are enlarged because I am a sinner, because I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress, for you alone, Lord, can do it. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins, for they are many. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. That's the prayer of a Christian. That's the prayer of humility. That's the prayer of honest self-examination. That's the prayer of those who know that they have nothing to stand upon in themselves and must cling to Christ alone. This is the cry of sinners who know they need saving. And their cry is always heard by our good and gracious Lord, who saved them with his perfect life and death, and who continues to save them with the divine gifts he graciously distributes in his holy house through his holy word and sacraments. The kingdom of God has come upon you here in this place. Blessed are you who hear the word of God and keep it, And the problem with that translation is you hear keep it and you immediately begin to create a list. But the literal translation is guard it. Or even receive it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and guard him, receive him. For the word of God is not simply words written on a page or spoken so that you can hear them. The word of God is a man, an eternal man, a man who is your Savior. Listen to him. Blessed are those who hear him and keep him. Blessed are those who receive him. That's what he's saying. Here at the holy altar, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, makes his home with you, imparting to you his life and love and his peace, that it may be your life and your love and your peace. And you are blessed. You are holy. You are righteous. You are perfect. You are unblemished. His beautiful bride that he has created for himself by his own precious blood. And all of it is his doing. At the end of the day, dear friends, that's what you need to take away from what our Lord says to you today. If it is by the finger of God that you have been brought into his kingdom, then you are blessed. If it is by your own finger, by your own work, then you are as worthless as Pharaoh's magicians at getting your salvation done. What does it mean to be with or against Christ? It means that you receive him where he promises to be, that you might have the kingdom he has promised to give, that you might live with him forever. Thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit has led you here to this place, that you might be blessed, that you might hear Christ, and that you might receive him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. us pray.
Everlasting God, have mercy upon your baptized children. Guard us from the evil one, deliver us from temptation, and keep us by your Holy Spirit in communion with the stronger man, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that we might live in his grace and walk in his ways, to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the innumerable blessings you bestow upon us, without any merit or worthiness on our part. We are especially thankful for the pastors you send into our midst to preach your word and administer your sacraments to us. Keep them faithful to their charge, and enliven us by your grace to hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, remember those who have been trusted with civil authority among us and those who serve in our armed forces, including Gabriel Blair, Dustin Majewski, Christopher Schaub, and Justin Wyborn. Protect, strengthen, and uphold them in every good deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, look with compassion on those who are underemployed or unemployed, and send them relief according to your gracious provisions. Turn the hearts of those who have an overabundance of earthly wealth and suffer from the sin of affluence, that they would give freely and generously of the blessings they have received, recognizing their poverty before you and their need of salvation in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, consider the affliction and trouble of your people who cry out to you in their hour of need, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Marlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Call, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Schaub, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Miriam Sohn, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Katie Jacklett, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Noah Truesdell, and Richard Gulick. Give them patience in their suffering, strengthen their faith, and keep their eyes focused on Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, your Son, our Good Shepherd, prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Bring us to the holy altar in repentance and faith, that we might receive the Holy Eucharist of his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and strengthening of our faith. Let the Holy Supper of the stronger man be our sustenance as we continue our journey through the wilderness of this sinful world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Living God, you give your people a share in the eternal life of your Son, who rose from the tomb on the third day and ascended into heaven in his glorified flesh on the 40th day of his resurrection. Receive our thanks and praise for all those who you kept in the faith and have fallen asleep in Jesus. Bring us with them to the eternal joys of the feast to come, when he returns in great glory on the last day. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take us away, the sin of the world, and mercy upon us, O Christ, the Lamb of God. That take us away, the sin.
Christ given for you. The very body of 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 Christ given for you. May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptismal vows all the days of your life. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior,
everybody, pray.
precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you. Amen.